If you look at quality improvement, one of the mechanisms is to look at these incremental little changes in order to get where you need to get to. And the same principle applies with large organizational structures as well, where you literally have to do incremental changes to get you to where you want the ship to go to at the end of the day.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsingtian First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. This week, we are revisiting the Health Authority Executive C-Suite, but this time from a physician's perspective. Leading physicians is sometimes jokingly referred to as something akin to herding cats, a euphemism that describes the challenges of bringing a group of independent professionals to work together and alongside the health authority to deliver coordinated high-quality patient care. And to help demystify the role is our guest today, Dr. Ronald Chapman, the current Vice President of Medicine for Northern Health. Hello, Dr. Chapman. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, and thank you for the invitation.
Now, becoming a health authority vice president of medicine doesn't usually feature on most newly graduating medical students' lists of career goals. So I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your career journey and how you ended up in the role you have now.
Thanks very much. I must say, you know, I've had a fascinating career. So, and it's been very unusual. Just by way of background, I come from a rural community, literally a place that was a power station village of about, I think it was about 100 houses on this village. And so when I went to go and study medicine, I had the privilege of being involved with a Christian group at the university, and I was exposed for the first time there to some management training. And it just tickled my fancy, what management involves. And I started applying a lot of those principles in the work that we were doing. And what was interesting to me is I was actually quite amazed just by organizing properly how you can actually get a group of people to work together to actually accomplish something. And when I finished my studies in medicine, I had the opportunity to decide, you know, what I'd like to specialize in. And one area I was considering was, strange enough, either ear, nose and throat surgery is a possibility. The other option was to go into management because I enjoyed it so much. So I decided to possibly to pursue an MBA. But in my discussions, particularly at that stage with some of my colleagues, some of them actually encouraged me to go and speak to the head of the Department of Community Medicine, which is equivalent of public health. And when I spoke to her, she said to me, why don't you come and specialize in public health and community health? You are going to actually cover a lot of the subjects they cover in the MBA. So I decided that was a very good option. And during my residency, it was a four-year residency, I had the privilege to actually circulate through all the different health authorities, particularly at national level, provincial level, and local level. And my last year of residency, I spent at the provincial government for the year. And that was just a fascinating opportunity to learn how to work with particularly all the different groups to achieve particularly things that I did not even dream of imagining, you know, of accomplishing in my residency. So after my residency, I was appointed as a director of community care, primary care services in the Free State, where I worked. And for the next 17 years, literally my career, I went through all the different ranks in the health authority, and I ended my last year in South Africa as the interim CEO for a health authority with about 15,000 employees. And that was an interesting experience while they were busy recruiting for a permanent CEO. It was at the end of that that I transitioned over to Canada. And then I've had the privilege of being involved. I came to Canada in 2007, and I was the regional director for the Northern Cancer Control Program. And that certainly was a big honor. That was just an opportunity of a lifetime to actually be involved in the development of cancer services up in the north. I just came in at the tail end of a lot of work, over 20 years of advocacy by various groups to establish a cancer center. So I was very privileged to see the government approving the cancer strategy in the north, plus be involved with the development of the business case to actually improve our cancer services up in the north, which included our 8 community health cancer clinics throughout the north, plus the development of the Northern Cancer Center up in Prince George. And I mean, what a privilege, you know, to be involved in the development of that service. That again just reminded me about the importance of just good management and being involved with a whole lot of different role players to make that particular service a reality up in the north. After that, it was during that time as well, I finished all my Canadian exams, and I was also privileged to finish my Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons exams in public health. And I became the Chief Medical Health Officer for 3 years. And I must say, I really enjoyed public health. I think it was one of the most, you know, interesting jobs that I was involved with as well. And I enjoyed just looking at particularly how we can just address upstream risk factors and how we can actually, as an organization and as a community, larger community, address that up in the north. So I was involved with that for 3 years, and then the CEO challenged me to consider applying for this position, which was actually very strange for me because I haven't practiced medicine on the ground for literally at that stage for about 20 years. And but the CEO convinced me at that stage she believed I had all the right set of skills to be involved in the management of you know, particularly of physician services. So it literally took me, I think, about 8 months before I decided to apply for this position. And that was almost 13 years ago, you know, that I've been involved in the service. And it certainly has been a very big privilege to be involved in the VP Medicine role, and also to work with such talented people up in the north to try and improve our services. So that gives you a little bit of background how my career basically went from when I started to the end. I always people ask me literally, you know, about my background, and I jokingly say to them, you know, I'm a real bureaucrat. I understand organizations extremely well and how they function and operate and how to get the best out of them to try and improve the services. So that certainly has been a privilege.
That is a really interesting career journey, and I haven't heard a journey like that actually. That's the closest I think you would come to an administrative track physician career actually, from a very early stage. Very interesting to hear, and I'm sure you're right, that public health perspective is absolutely vital to that larger oversight role on a health authority level. So really interesting to hear that. Now, our listeners may actually be rather unfamiliar with the role of a health authority vice president of medicine and what it actually involves. And so, can you tell us a little bit about what the VP of medicine actually does?
Yes. So my portfolio is actually, I've got a number of different service rendering components and oversight components within my portfolio. But the characteristic portion usually of the VP medicine is usually looking after physician services. And as everybody will appreciate, about 98% of physicians are contracted physicians. They're not employees of the health authority. So the health authority actually contracts physicians to render services. And usually a lot of the funding through the ministry flows through the health authority. to actually help us contract those services. So in order to help manage particularly the physician's relationship between Northern Health and the physician contractors, I've got a large infrastructure literally that helps to work on that. So just to give an example, we've got in a larger institution like the University Hospital, we've got heads of departments that help particularly with the management of the services that those departments are rendering. Then we've got the chiefs of staff at the universities, the hospitals throughout the north. And then we've got the medical directors that then the medical directors are responsible usually for geographical areas, and under them these multiple institutions and chiefs of staffs that they work with. And the medical directors basically report to me. So together, basically the kind of functions that we fulfill is, first of all, is recruitment and retention. And so we actively work particularly with all the parties. To try and successfully land somebody here requires usually the local physicians on the ground, the communities are involved, as well as our recruiters. So it is a very collaborative process to land somebody successfully coming to those communities. The second area is basically looking at, we've got a contracts department, physician compensation and contracts department, and they basically look at all the contracts. That's for physicians where we do contract them on, for example, APP, or we have service contracts. And physicians can basically work fee for service as well. So those are the options that they can choose to work up in the north. We also have a component that looks after behavioral health issues. So where there are particularly unwarranted behaviors, how best to treat that so that we can resolve that, and particularly if there's any tensions or conflict, so that at least everybody can move forward. And then we've got a credentialing and privileging service. So anybody that comes through Northern Health and they want to work in an acute care facility needs to be credentialed and privileged. And then we've got a section that purely just looks at that, so that folks can get the right privileges for the set of skills that they do have in the institution. So that's the characteristic part of the VP Medicine portfolio. In addition to that, we also look after the, if I can use it, the quality programs or the quality networks or service networks that we look afterwards. And what that involves is that we've embarked on a co-leadership model in Northern Health. And each of the major service components, like cardiology, renal services, radiology, lab services, is to appoint a medical lead who can work with the executive lead in on the Northern Health side, and together co-manage and look particularly at quality and standardization across the health authorities. The medical directors generally look at geographical areas, where the medical leads look after the service across the whole region and ensure standardization. And they work very collaboratively with the operational side to try and improve services across the area. So that's the second component. The third area that I'm responsible for is the chronic disease component, and that's services like cancer care, renal services, cardiac services, HIV and Hep C services. So we've got a whole component that looks after that specialized services. And then finally, I'm also responsible for the diagnostic services that we look at oversight of the diagnostic services, and that's both on the laboratory side as well as on the medical imaging side. So that's basically just to give an indication of what my whole portfolio involves. And but characteristically, in other health authorities, it's generally just the physician services component.
That's a very, very wide-ranging portfolio. And I can see the elements of quality there studied throughout multiple aspects of that portfolio as well, whether it's The sort of quality control aspect and the privileging and credentialing piece, right through to the service networks and the quality improvement piece across the region and standardization based on those different services. So that's really good to see that your entire portfolio is really embedded and driven by this search for quality on multiple levels. Now, you've been involved in your role as VP of Medicine for, as you say, almost 13 years now. And so you must rank as one of the longest running current health authority VPs of medicine, I think, in the province. And I'm conscious that many VPs don't stay nearly as long in their roles. So how do you explain your longevity? What's been your secret sauce?
In fact, no, I'm actually not the longest. One of my previous colleagues worked in Vancouver Coastal. He was actually vice president of medicine for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? I think I am the most senior at the moment VP of medicine if I compare myself to some of the other colleagues in the province. And what's the secret sauce in terms of why I stayed so long? I think there's a number of reasons that and it all boils down to basically just enjoying my work and having a very fulfilling kind of just a fulfilling job. And some of the reasons of why I quite enjoy the work is that first of all I basically, I certainly have a passion for rural communities. I've grown up in a rural community all my life. The only time I have not lived in a rural area was when I went and studied medicine in Johannesburg in South Africa. That's about the only time I've went to a big city. Even when I did my postgraduate work, it was in a small university, in a rural setting in South Africa. So I've lived and I've worked all my life, particularly in resource-constrained environments. And to me, I think the big challenge for me has always been is how do you actually improve services with the limited resources that you do have, and at the same time advocating for additional resources so that we can improve the service rendering at the end of the day. So I think that to me has always been a big challenge, and to see what kind of contribution myself and the team of people that I work with that can achieve that. The other reason is that I enjoy rural people. I find rural folks are very different to urban folks, and I find them very hospitable and just very pleasant to work with and to live with. So to me, it's just been a just a privilege, to continue to live in my whole career out in a rural community. The third area is I think I've been very blessed just to work within Northern Health and work with just a great group of people. If I just think of I'm a part of an executive, and my colleagues are all very passionate about the work that they're doing, together with our medical directors and medical leads and all our medical leaders. I think it's just a phenomenal group of people to work with. And then we've got support staff that support this work that we're doing. And I think it's just a great group of people. Just to work with them, it is enjoyable to come to work in the morning and to support them in terms of achieving what they need to achieve. And then finally, from my side, one thing I've gained a great deal of respect for is the physician workforce, as well as the Northern Health workforce. If I just see the passion and creative and innovative ways in which people are trying to address the health needs of the community that they're serving, one just has to admire all the time, the work that our health professionals are doing. It's not easy in a rural community. We have a lot of barriers to render service, to get people to access to services, and then when people need to try and get them to the appropriate area where they can get those services, it's not an easy environment. So It has been such a pleasure supporting, particularly the medical as well as the particular health staff, to try and do their work and make it as easy as possible for them. So it's because of all these particular reasons, it's good for me to get out of bed in the morning and to basically see how best I can make a contribution to support the very people that's doing the work.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful insight, and that passion for rural medicine and administration comes through quite clearly there. And I agree with you. There's something about living and working in the north. It's a great bunch of people, and it's lovely to work with in that environment where everyone's wanting the best thing for northerners, for those living in those rural areas. And that does spur you on. You're absolutely right. Now, I wonder if I can just change tack slightly here and be a little cheeky and add this little question in about, but I think I might know the answer to this already, is that if you could have wave a magic wand and turn the clock back and have the opportunity to start over your career again, would you have done anything differently, and what?
No, I think, from my perspective, I've had a very rewarding career, and strange enough, I wouldn't do anything differently. My wife would have thought that it would have been better for me to do another job other than the VP medicine role. But it's been my whole career has been just a very fulfilling career, and I've enjoyed working with the people, particularly in our rural communities that we're serving, and I wouldn't have changed my career any other way. It's just been a very rewarding career.
Well, thank you for that. I sort of knew the answer before I even asked you, based on your earlier answers. I have one more question for you, Dr. Chapman, if that's okay. In my experience, physicians who are involved in maintaining or improving healthcare quality, at a whatever level, but particularly a system level, they all agree that it can be often very hard and continuous uphill work. And you're a part of that, you're at the forefront of that. And I wonder, what's your personal philosophy on this? When the going gets tough, where do you dig deep, and how do you do that? What keeps you motivated through those tough times, through those difficult challenges?
Yes, thank you. I think that's a very good question. I think from my perspective, it's interesting when you do clinical work. You can make quick decisions, and you see the kind of effects immediately, in terms of what you want to do. When you work with bureaucratic and large organizational structures, it's like a big boat that takes a lot of work to get that boat to turn in a particular direction. I always view it like that, is that you're sitting with a large system, and to change that system, you've got many people involved. And it's a matter of changing and working with all those relevant people in order to nudge the system in the right place. And at the same time, if you look at quality improvement, one of the mechanisms is to look at these incremental little changes in order to get where you need to get to. And it applies exactly, the same principle applies with large organizational structures as well, where you literally have to do incremental changes to get you to where you want the ship to go to at the end of the day. And I can give you two very good examples. The one was the cancer strategy, which I had the privilege coming at the tail end of a lot of work that was done in the preceding 20 years, literally, where we had people advocating for a cancer center up in the north. And that call was repeatedly, different groups and different people were working on that to get government to agree to develop a cancer center up in the north here. So I came on the tail end of that, a lot of work after 20 years, and had the privilege to see it actually materialize up in the north, and eventually saw it functional. And today it's a thriving particular center, together with a nice cancer system and facilities that we've got in our rural communities. So It takes a long time. And the other example I'd like to give is a cardiac strategy, for example, up in the north. I remember when I became the VP of medicine, literally within the first week, I had the cardiac or the internal medicine group come to speak to me about their vision about having a cancer, I mean, a cardiac center up in the north. All our cardiac patients, particularly for any interventional work, have to leave the north to go down south at either Kelowna or down south or even to the island to actually receive their services. So we then decided to, at that stage, to embark on a process to actually work with Cardiac Services BC to make a case for developing a cardiac center up in the north. It took us five, I'd say between 5 to 8 years with various case studies, with various kind of business cases that we eventually had to submit to Cardiac Services BC, because at that stage they were not convinced of putting down a standalone cardiac center without particular cardiothoracic surgery. And unfortunately, in the north, there was no way in which we'll ever get a cardiothoracic service up in the north here, or surgical services. We just do not have the volumes to actually warrant that. So we eventually, after many different people helped us and talk, and this is a good example of where you've got multiple teams working together to achieve a common purpose. We eventually got to a point where Cardiac Services had agreed that there is a case to actually have a standalone interventional cardiac center up in the north. And we eventually, once Cardiac Services BC supported that, we together basically developed a business case for the ministry to consider. And the ministry and the government at that stage then approved that. And the vehicle that to actually develop that was the cardiac, the acute care tower that has been approved and is in the process of planning for development. Yeah, and so it will be one of the three major components within that acute care services. But that took us almost 13 years to get there, and that's continual advocacy. It's continued working with different groups to achieve a very important service up in the north here, so that the northerners basically can benefit from a service that we can render in the north. So when we do look at quality improvement on a systems level, it's basically just imagining this big ship and who you all need to work with in order to turn where the ship needs to go to. So that's the way I basically view quality of care, and especially and why it takes so long to get things done.
That's incredible. And those stories you tell that, and the length of time, you need such patience. You need such forward-thinking vision, and you need to stay true to that conviction. And it actually helps to have that longevity in the role, therefore, to be able to see some of those things come to fruition and to keep that advocacy up. So that's amazing to hear. And it sounds like you're the right person. You got the patience of a saint, it would seem, as well as all the requisite skills and system level understanding to do that. So thank you for sharing that. This is a great place to finish up, I think, and at the end of our interview. But I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Dr. Chapman. It's been very enlightening hearing about your role and your long experience of it. And as a token of our thanks, as with all our guests, we'll be sending you one of our exclusive and highly coveted QualityCast North coffee mugs.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Dr. Ronald Chapman, the Vice President of Medicine for Northern Health. Until next time, it's goodbye from us here at QualityCast North, our guest, Dr. Ronald Chapman, and your host. I'm Sher Chewy. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycons@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.